They rode on separate horses, unified by the utopia of love. As a couple brought together by a sameness of many natures, they were overwhelmed with that love. Theirs was the universe of the countryside. Songbirds chirping softly, farm animals in abundance throughout the meadow, and a clear rural air of spring beckoning this ideal couple to enjoy the pleasures of youth with their youthful body and mind. Riding through hill and dale, they enjoyed the presence of both an emotional and a physical compatibility along with sexuality. It was the year of the Paris riots in 1686, but it can also be said that every year is a year of the Paris riots. This was of a new mentality, though, not traditional. Never before had the lower class of individuals asserted themselves, demanding a say in community, government, and even church. Paul was set to make his annual visit to Paris. He had the good fortune to be able to sell mules and horses to the King of France. Every year he would deliver the mules to the stables in Versailles, and every year he would journey to the nearby city of Paris for payment. The process was logical to everyone, including Paul's father, an important pillar of strength in all of Paul's commercial endeavors. The Pelletier family lived 30 kilometers from Versailles, in Brézolettes. They were not only well enough off to have ideal facilities to breed horses and mules, but the proximity to Versailles was a plus within the administrative process of the king. It was not that their farm was large, it was the fact that the pasture surrounding them could accommodate the animals. Brézolettes was a quiet town, nestled in the rolling hills of picturesque valleys and plateaus. It was Monique's dream to share that wonderful existence of life with Paul. She knew that there they would always be of lower class and poor, but she felt with family they would experience bliss. Monique would not accompany Paul on this trip to Paris. She had contracted herself out to the kitchen chef of the Palace of Versailles. She had become proud of her title as part of the assistant staff at this magnificent palace. Monique had been a chambermaid, however, she was beautiful, exotic, and virtuous. Her assets were expected to take her out of her class and at least thrust her into the court of France as a servant to a higher order. Often, the chambermaid did the cleaning of the rooms. She made the beds, worked as a laundress, swept, dusted, and kept the rooms in perfect order. But now, Monique was able to begin her new responsibilities. Paul was a hard-working man of agriculture. His good looks could be expected to take him nowhere. He was expected to stay in his class. They had all put ambitions aside, though, as love is like that. It conquers all. They often met in the courtyard of the stable of Versailles, touching at any possible excuse, and as lovers can, making love in the hayloft when he delivered horses from his family to the king. The horses constantly needed to be attended to, and Paul was more than happy to do so. The stolen moments matched the honor of serving the king. Paul could only presume that the emotion he held for Monique was a reality that he would never lose. There was the assumption of marriage, child-rearing, and all other attachments for the future. The annual purchases of horses by royalty was not secondary. It was an income from an outside source other than bartering with the neighbors. They made love in what seemed to be their own hayloft, with an extravagance that always seemed to be the last time. The building that served as the king's livery and storeroom was specifically located at 18 Rue André Chenier, Versailles, France. It was known as the stables de Cheville Rouge, Versailles. They waved goodbye with endearing statements of passion, two people separated as if being of one soul. Paul rode his best horse, and as he turned his steed away, he presented an image to Monique. He was the most statuesque man of history in her small world. She watched him disappear over the hill as he rode at a canter. She knew she would miss him with a pain that seemed to be unendurable and not explainable. It was a mental anguish she felt each time they parted.